Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're plunging headfirst into two skills that, honestly, we often just take for granted: reading and note-taking.
Yeah, it's funny how basic they seem, but how critical they really are.
Exactly. And I mean, think about the sheer amount of information hitting us daily. We need a way to cut through that noise,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
To actually grasp what matters.
Yes, definitely.
So our mission today is to maybe reshape how you approach reading and note-taking, especially at the college level. Give you some sharper tools for success there and, well, beyond too.
Mm-hmm.
And get this, there's this Emory University study using MRI scans.
Oh, yeah, I read about that. Fascinating stuff.
Right. It suggests reading actually causes like biological changes in your brain that stick around. It's not just about facts, it's physical.
It really underlines that this isn't just busy work. Mastering these skills is a real investment.
An investment how?
Well, knowledge isn't much use if you don't really understand it, right?
Yeah.
Or can't apply it. And critical thinking, that's non-negotiable today with all the info and sometimes misinformation floating around.
Good point.
So refining how you read, how you capture thoughts, it boosts your grades now, sure, but it also builds these long-term cognitive muscles you need for, well, pretty much any career. It's a total win-win.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Mm-hmm. We all read, emails, websites, whatever, but is college reading fundamentally different, like from reading a novel or scrolling through news headlines?
Oh, absolutely. Fundamentally different. Think about reading for immediate info, like an email for a meeting time or instructions online to fix something.
Right. You find the answer, you're done.
Exactly. Specific goal, short term.
Hmm.
College reading, though, it demands way more engagement. It's about figuring out fact from opinion, judging if a source is actually solid, and truly getting your head around complex ideas. It's not just what's stated, it's the implications, the arguments, how it connects to other things you're learning.
That makes sense. So for those longer readings we face in college, our sources break it down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two main types.
Yeah, pretty much. First, you've got reading to introduce new content.
Okay, like when a topic is totally fresh. Maybe Glenn studying classical architecture for the first time, or you tackling volcanoes in geology.
Precisely, and that takes more time. You're looking up words, you're stopping a lot to make sure you're getting it.
Because you don't have those existing mental hooks yet.
Right. You're building the foundation. Then the second type is reading to comprehend familiar content.
So even if you think you know a topic, like maybe you follow the old Pluto debate back in the day.
Exactly. Even then, there's always more depth or a different angle you hadn't considered, so you approach it differently.
So
you might skim first, kind of check off what you already know. Then you really focus in on the new stuff, maybe a radical new theory, a different definition, or how it connects to, say, philosophy or history. It makes the familiar feel new again.
I see. But you mentioned overconfidence earlier. How do we avoid that trap? You know, thinking a quick Google search makes us knowledgeable.
Ah, that's such a key point today. Being truly knowledgeable, like an expert, means really deep study, understanding all the angles, recognizing your own biases, spotting bad info.
So college reading pushes us towards that deeper level.
Exactly. Beyond just surface familiarity, it's about getting comfortable saying, okay, I thought I knew this, but there's more here.
And the big why. Why put in all this effort beyond just passing the course?
Well, our sources really hammer this home. It sharpens your thinking, boosts your vocabulary, helps you make those cool, unexpected connections between ideas.
Yeah, I saw that reference to Cunningham and Stanovich. Their research found reading volume significantly impacts vocabulary, general knowledge, spelling, verbal fluency. That's huge.
It is huge. The evidence is really clear. Reading is probably the most significant learning skill for success, really in any field.
So even if it's not your favorite thing,
embrace it as a challenge. Seriously.
Right.
The long-term payoff, academically, personally, professionally, it's massive. It really is a path to growth.
Okay. That leads us right to the how. Because college reading lists can be intimidating.
Definitely, right?
We're talking, what, 10, 15 hours a week for a full course load? That's a lot.
It is a lot. And that brings us to a critical point. You probably cannot read every single assigned word.
Right.
For most people, it's just not realistic. And that's why techniques like skimming, annotating, and really disciplined note-taking are so essential. They're tools to help you comprehend more efficiently.
Okay, let's start with skimming. What does that actually look like? It's not just glancing, right?
No, not at all. It's strategic. It's about grabbing the main points quickly without that intense word-by-word focus of active reading. Think of it as step one.
Reconnaissance.
Exactly. You're looking for signposts, headings, bold text, definitions, any pull quotes, tables, charts.
Intro and summary words like first, in conclusion.
Yep. For a book, check chapter titles, intros, conclusions. Figure out the main argument, what supports it, any counterarguments, the final takeaway.
And crucially, you mentioned making notes after skimming.
Yes, always. Jot down terms you need to look up, questions that came up, and just a quick one-sentence summary of what it seems to be about.
Got it. So after skimming, we move to active reading.
Right. And this is where you really engage, have that conversation with the text.
No.
And warning, it takes way longer.
How much longer?
Easily twice as long as just passively letting your eyes scan the page. Maybe more.
Wow. Okay.
You can estimate your pace, though. Time yourself reading a typical text for 5 minutes. Let's say you read 4 pages.
Okay.
Actively reading those same 4 pages, stopping, thinking, noting, might realistically take 10 minutes, maybe 12.
Right.
Knowing that helps you schedule.
And you absolutely need to read before the lecture.
Oh, ideally, yes. It primes your brain. You can connect what the professor says to what you've already wrestled with. Makes lectures way more valuable.
And different subjects need different pacing, like poetry versus a textbook.
Totally. A dense, short poem might demand more time per page than a straightforward textbook chapter because you're digging so much deeper into meaning and interpretation.
Okay, that time perspective is super helpful. Now, what about a structured method? I know the SQ3R method comes up a lot. Survey, question, read, recite, review.
Yep, it's a classic for a reason. It works.
So, surveys like skimming again. Titles, headings, intros, summaries.
Pretty much. Get the lay of the land. Then, question. This is, you turn those headings into actual questions.
Like, what is the main point of this section? Or how does this relate to what we learned last week?
Exactly. Or even, how does this connect to my own life? Write them down. Leave space. It focuses your reading.
Then read. Actively looking for the answers to your questions.
Right. And read in chunks. Stop. Make notes in the margins. But caution, don't go crazy with the highlighter.
The highlighter trap. Less is more.
Definitely less is more. Read the section first, then highlight only the absolute key terms or phrases. Otherwise, it's just yellow noise.
Okay. Then recite. This is the one people skip, isn't it?
Often, yes. But it's crucial. Say the answers out loud. Summarize in your own words. Try explaining it to someone else.
Engages a different part of the brain.
Totally. Helps lock it into long-term memory. It's like your brain's secret weapon. And finally, review.
Recap, add more notes, make sure you got the main points and evidence, maybe repeat some steps if needed.
Yep. And always, always write a short summary, like one page max. Ties it all together.
That's a solid framework. Now, you also mentioned primary versus secondary sources. Quick definition.
Sure. Primary sources are the original stuff letters, diaries, legal docs, raw data. Secondary sources are analyses about those primary sources, usually scholarly articles or books interpreting the originals.
We need to be careful with both.
Absolutely. Primary sources can be biased, outdated, even non-factual, depending on context. You need to understand when and why they were created.
And secondary sources have the author's viewpoint baked in.
Exactly. Their biases, their theoretical lens. So the best bet, read primary sources alongside secondary ones whenever you can. Form your own conclusions.
Good advice. And preparing for specific subjects always requires that active reading, maybe even researching the author a bit first.
Yeah, context is everything. Knowing who wrote it and why can really shift your understanding, which brings up your own biases.
Right. Like your example, Laura, passionate about environmental issues. Her passion helps, but her existing beliefs could block new info.
Precisely. Whether it's religion, nationality, family tradition, we all have filters. College reading and life, really, requires consciously trying to understand viewpoints that challenge our own. Even the uncomfortable ones.
It's about intellectual honesty, isn't it?
It really is.
You know, thinking about the power of reading, those quotes you mentioned are fantastic, Truman. All leaders are readers,
mm-hmm.
Jefferson. I cannot live without books.
Douglas, once you learn to read, you will be forever free. Powerful stuff.
And George R.R. Martin.
Mm.
A reader lives 1,000 lives.
Yeah.
It really drives home how transformative reading can be.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've covered reading pretty thoroughly. Let's switch gears to note-taking. It's more than just writing stuff down, right?
Oh, way more. It's an active learning tool. It helps you organize ideas, make sense of new material, stay focused.
Build on what you already know, spot patterns.
Exactly. Identify trends, guide future research. You're really shortchanging yourself if you don't take good notes.
But then there's the forgetting curve. That's pretty scary.
It is. Ebbinghaus found we forget, what, 60-75% within just a couple of days if we don't engage with the notes again.
So taking notes is pointless if you don't review them.
Pretty much defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
The key is reinforcement. Frequent review. Think of it like building muscle memory for a musician or wearing a path in a field.
That's a great analogy. The first time, taking notes, it's just a faint trail.
Right. And if you don't walk it again soon, ideally within 24 hours, it gets overgrown. Reviewing makes the path clearer, easier to access.
So note-taking isn't just for the class. It's a study practice for the long haul. College, career.
Definitely. It's about setting yourself up for success long term.
So preparing to take notes, it's more than just having a pen and paper. Or a laptop.
Yeah, it's about the mindset. Knowing why you're taking them, having a system you like, knowing how to prioritize information.
Using shorthand that works for you.
Right. And organization is huge. Whether it's binders or digital files, if you can't find your notes later, what's the point?
That whole handwriting versus typing debate seems like the research says review is more important than the format.
Increasingly, yes. What you do with the notes afterward matters most. But always start with the basics. Date, course, topic, and leave space.
Space for adding things later.
Yep. Questions, connections, clarifications.
Okay, specific strategies. The Cornell method is famous.
Super effective. That three-section layout, main notes on the right, recall cues on the left, summary at the bottom.
So during the lecture, you jot main points in the big column. Own words, skip lines.
Use abbreviations. Then, soon after, you write those cue words or questions in the left column. Little memory triggers.
And summarize the whole page at the bottom.
Correct. The beauty is it's built for studying. You cover the right side and quiz yourself with the cues. Napoleon Short means nothing on its own, but as a cue, it triggers the whole discussion.
Makes sense. What about outlining? Roman numerals, letters, numbers.
Very organized, shows structure clearly. The downside, it can be tough to keep up that strict format in a really fast lecture.
Right. Then there's the chart or table method.
Yeah, great for comparisons, columns with headings like concept, pros, cons, examples. You just slot the info in.
Helps pull out the key stuff, keeps it organized, like that grocery list analogy. You need the structure.
Exactly. Otherwise, you forget things. And remember, you can't retain every detail without consistent review.
And for visual folks, concept mapping.
Or visual note taking, yeah. Main idea in the middle, related concepts branching out. Use circles, boxes, lines, colors, drawings.
Makes it more memorable if you're visually oriented.
Definitely. Combining images and text can apparently double recall. That Rachel Smith TEDx talk, Drawing in Class, is great on this.
Cool. And regardless of method, shorthand is key for speed.
Absolutely. But it has to be your shorthand. Stuff you instantly recognize. W for with, BC for because, symbols like plus day, 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 whatever works for you, saves precious seconds.
So notes are taken. But the process isn't over. Annotating those notes later is critical.
Crucial. That's the reinforcement. Highlighting again, less is more. Just the key trigger term.
Read first, then highlight.
Always. Underlining can be more precise. But annotation is also defining terms in the margin, writing questions, circling things, making the notes actively yours.
And doing it multiple times helps.
Yes. Repetition is key for learning. Each pass reinforces it. That's why cramming doesn't work long term.
Which leads to Marlon's mistake. Oh. Trying to do everything notes, highlighting, prepping for the test. All during the lecture.
Yeah, bad idea. Leads to stress, missed info, and honestly, messy, less useful notes. Class time is for listening, engaging, asking questions.
Note-taking is just step one. Annotation comes after.
Exactly. That deeper processing happens later when you have time to focus.
What about non-text things? Graphs, maps, images?
Treat them like text. Ask. What's the point? Who's it for? What's the context? What does the legend say? What else do I need to know? They're conveying information too.
So it all comes back to returning to your notes.
Absolutely. Within 24 hours, if possible, beat that forgetting curve. Set reminders if you have to.
Make it a habit.
Yes. Your notes are gold for test prep, for understanding lectures better, connecting ideas, reading, note-taking, reviewing. It's a cycle, a continuum.
No shortcuts.
Yeah.
Each step builds on the last.
Precisely. Learning is cumulative, and these skills are fundamental to that process.
So wrapping up, this whole process, reading effectively, taking useful notes, reviewing them, it's not just for college, is it?
Not at all. It's a life skill. Think about the career connection. That example of Sanvi, the pre-nursing student.
Right. She struggled with readings until her instructor pointed out that reading a patient chart is the same kind of complex analysis.
Exactly. Deciphering symptoms, labs, meds, It requires deep comprehension, critical thinking, and really every profession involves reading complex information.
Doctors and nurses read charts and research. Teachers read student work and cues. Architects read blueprints.
Accountants read spreadsheets and regulations. Mechanics read engines and manuals. Beauticians read client features and product info. Civil engineers read site maps. It's everywhere.
So the skills you hone now are directly transferable.
Absolutely essential for professional success.
So maybe take a moment now to think about your own approach. How could some of these strategies change how you read and take notes going forward?
Yeah, reflect on that and maybe get curious. What else is there to know? Maybe look into maximizing e-readers or how pros in specific fields really use these skills day to day.
Or is speed reading real? How do strategies differ globally? Lots to explore.
Always more to learn.
Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope your next reading and note-taking session is your best one yet.